Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, February 26, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Man Turns Himself In. Expected to be in court today, by Mary Shank Urbana. A Champaign man has turned himself in to police in the murder of a woman in her home over the weekend and is expected to be in court today. Antoine D. Craig, 37, whose last known address was in the 1800 block of Valley Road, made contact with the Rantoul Police Department about 11:40 a.m. Tuesday, and was eventually arrested by Champaign County Sheriff's deputies on charges of first-degree murder in the death of Tenisha Jenkins. Ms. Jenkins, 34, was found dead in her home in the 2200 block of Dale Drive about 11:38 a.m. Sunday. A release from Sheriff Dustin Hoyerman said that the two were involved in a relationship and had been seen together in downtown Champaign in the early morning hours of Sunday. Witnesses said the two had a disagreement in a parking lot and left separately. Friends of Ms. Jenkins reported that Craig was at her home mid-morning Sunday, that there were signs of a struggle, and that during a video chat on social media, Craig reported she was fine. He said she was sleeping and refused to bring her to the phone. A concerned person asked sheriff's deputies to check on her welfare, and when they got to the house, they saw a man who left out the back door as they knocked on the front. The deputies found Ms. Jenkins deceased in a bedroom and signs of a struggle. Other witnesses reported that later on Sunday, Craig asked for a ride to a liquor store and made statements about getting into a physical fight with his girlfriend. He had what appeared to be blood on his shoes. Coroner Dwayne Northrup said an autopsy on Ms. Jenkins performed Tuesday in Urbana confirmed she was not shot, but he was unable to say what caused her death. Court records show Craig has convictions for a number of low-level offenses dating back to 2001, including obstructing justice, aggravated driving under the influence, possession with intent to deliver cannabis, and driving under revocation. He was charged with misdemeanor domestic battery twice in 2009, but both cases were dismissed. Ms. Jenkins was not involved in either of those cases. Craig also has a pending charge of unlawful use of weapons stemming from a December 25 arrest. Can the Blue Devils do it? At 30-0, the Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin boys basketball team has fans young and old thinking big entering the postseason. Hoping to become the first area team to cap an unbeaten season with the state title, the Class 2A Blue Devils have Vermilion County abuzz. Anytime you're undefeated, you're going to get a lot of hype, head coach Gary Tidwell told the News Gazette's Colin Likas. As the season has progressed and those wins have stacked up, there's been more interest. The last IHSA boys basketball team to finish unbeaten, Seneca, in 2006. In total, 16 teams have done it, the first 15 winning the championship in Champaign, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Allen's fan base includes Flora and Richard Bell Knight, both 1956 Bismarck High School graduates. That article by Colin Likas in the News Gazette. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy Jim Rossow. Monticello's diminutive Tray Welter had his hands full, and then some, guarding a giant of a middle schooler from Taylor Ridge Rock Ridge at last week's IESA 8th grade boys basketball state semifinal in Tolono. The photograph was taken by a Rock Ridge parent and friend of Trey's dad, Monticello football coach Cully Welter. The picture explains junior high basketball and junior high in general, as 6th to 8th grade kids come in all shapes and sizes and have a wide range of maturity levels, Monticello School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman said. They come in as elementary kids and leave as high schoolers. Such a big jump. Despite Trey's best efforts, the Sages lost 47-32 and eventually finished fourth. Still, Zimmerman said, I love a picture that tells a story. Questions, comments, suggestions? Email Jim Rossow at jrossow@newsgazette.com. Ransacked apartment. Ex-U of I students charged in May incident facing new allegations, by Mary Schenck Urbana. Two former University of Illinois students have been charged with residential burglary for allegedly ransacking a man's apartment and trying to pin it on another man whom they allegedly targeted in a May 2019 incident for which they were also criminally charged. William Farrell, 24, of Wadsworth, was charged in a January 16 break-in at an apartment in the 300 block of East John Street, Champaign, while Summer S. Nockvi, 22, of Skokie, was charged with the same crime under the theory she was accountable for Farrell's actions, even though she was not present. State's attorney Julia Reitz said the apartment was rented by a man who was dating Nockvi and that she suggested to police that a former boyfriend of hers may have been responsible for the break-in. The man she told police may have done it was also the alleged victim of a crime with which Nockvi and Farrell were charged in May. In that earlier case, Nockvi and Farrell were charged with intimidation and aggravated unlawful restraint for allegedly holding the man at knife point while deleting files from his computer that were reportedly related to Nockvi's allegations of sexual harassment against former U of I economics professor Joe Petrie. In early May, Nockvi identified herself on social media as the woman who accused Petrie a month earlier. In late April, Petrie announced his retirement from the U of I effective May 31. As part of an agreement he entered into with the university in exchange for it dropping the sexual harassment investigation. The allegations against Nockvi and Farrell in the earlier criminal case were that on May 2, Farrell struggled with Nockvi's then-boyfriend in his Urbana apartment while Nockvi deleted files on his computer. They came to light a few days later when the Urbana man went to police. Neither Nockvi nor Farrell, who were roommates at the time, have had those charges resolved. Reed said Champaign police were called to the John Street apartment about 3:10 a.m. January 16 by the victim, who had returned with Nockvi and found it ransacked and a laptop destroyed. However, there was no forced entry and nothing was missing, Reed said. Reed said Nockvi suggested to police that her ex-boyfriend may have been responsible for the ransacking. She also told police her car had been stolen the night before and that she and her current boyfriend were looking for it while his apartment was being ransacked. Reed said police learned that Nakvi had the keys to the apartment, and she allegedly gave them to Farrell so he could ransack it and damage the computer while she kept the man busy looking for her car. Farrell was arrested in Lake County last week, posted bond, and appeared in Champaign County on Monday. Judge Adam Dill told him to be back March 10. Nakvi was arrested in Skokie last week, posted bond, and is supposed to appear in Champaign County on March 6. Housing Authority of Champaign County: earnings don't match rises in rent, and minimum wage bump may not make up growing disparity. By Deborah Pressey, Champaign. If housing affordability has become a more visible issue recently, that's because it's touching an increasing number of people, said Andrew Green Lee, a University of Illinois urban and regional planning professor. Stagnant wages, student debt, and the high costs of health care and daycare consume a growing share of worker income, making it more difficult to pay for a home that's decent and affordable, according to Green Lee and others assembled by the Housing Authority of Champaign County on Tuesday to discuss issues behind the affordable housing shortage in the community. The average Champaign County employee must earn $16 an hour to afford a basic, nothing fancy, two-bedroom apartment, according to Sheila Dodd, manager of the City of Urbana's Grants Management Department. But the average apartment dweller earns $10.91 an hour, Dodd said. And while she's been glad to see Illinois' gradual increase in minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2025, Dodd said she fears the cost of housing will continue to rise along with it. Those burdened by unaffordable rents face difficult budget decisions, such as paying for housing or food. And can they afford health care? Said Chad Hoffman, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County. That agency has long waiting lists for its home projects, with hundreds of applicants applying for 4 or 5 openings, he said. Building permit and zoning issues also play a role in an affordable housing shortage, he and Dodd said. While construction costs for new housing development are relatively stagnant, housing costs continue to rise, and government regulations often unnecessarily inflate construction and housing rehab costs, according to the Housing Authority. Jimmy John's, Feds Fix Your Produce Problem, by Tim Dittman, Champaign. The feds are putting Champaign-based Jimmy John's on notice. They want to know what the sandwich chain is doing to prevent illness outbreaks caused by its ingredients. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday released a warning letter it sent to Jimmy John's on Friday. In it, it wrote that the chain engaged in a pattern of receiving and offering for sale adulterated fresh produce, specifically clover sprouts and cucumbers. The letter points to 5 outbreaks of E. coli or Salmonella tied to Jimmy John's from 2012 to 2019. The letter noted Jimmy John's took corrective action after outbreaks in 2012 and 2019, but it said the FDA needs to see some information demonstrating long-term sustainable corrections. Jimmy John's has 15 business days to respond. If the problem is not corrected, the FDA said, it could take action to curtail Jimmy John's operations. The chain's president, James North, said in a statement it has removed sprouts from the menu as a precaution. In September 2019, Inspire Brands announced it was buying Jimmy John's. The deal saw founder Jimmy John Lyotard step down as chairman and become an advisor. Champaign City Council: changes underway for Fresh Start call-ins, by Ben Zichterman, Champaign. 86 young men have been selected by law enforcement to attend call-in meetings organized by Champaign-Urbana Fresh Start, the community's initiative to reduce gun violence. Only 26 have engaged with the program that was launched in 2016. Citing this engagement rate, CU Fresh Start organizers told the Champaign City Council on Tuesday that they want to change the format of the call-in meetings, where gun violence victims, chiefs of police, and other community leaders spoke with individuals identified as possible future perpetrators of gun violence. "We've heard from the participants that they don't see it as a welcoming, inviting way of becoming involved," said Tracy Parsons, Champaign's community relations manager. "And it's a very, very difficult visual. So far, all of our participants have been black males. The hammer's not working, and we might want to use another tool," Champaign Chief Anthony Cobb said. The men attending the call-ins must be 18 or older, on probation or parole, have a prior felony arrest, gun arrest, or violent crime conviction, and be linked to a recent violent crime based on credible information. Several council members said that they had attended call-ins and were pleased changes are being made. 27 years with 16-year-olds has taught me that public shaming is not really the way to go," said District 4 Representative Greg Stock, who teaches at Centennial High School. "There was some effectiveness to it, I get it. But at the same point, it felt like people are being up there on blast in front of people that they don't know, that don't live the lives they've led, that don't have the issues they have to deal with." District 2 Representative Alicia Beck said she was glad to hear about changes. "I always felt uncomfortable about the call-in format," she said. "There's a difference between shame and guilt. When people walk in, they know they've been guilty of a crime. They know that they've been guilty of certain behaviors," she said. "Shame makes people feel like they are unworthy of belonging, or they are unworthy of being part of the community. And certainly, that is the antithesis of what we're trying to achieve." At-large council members Tom Bruno said the call-ins were a worthy idea, comparing them to victim impact panels for people who get DUIs. "You have to hear told to you the impact of your actions have had on other people," he said. "That's not a far-fetched concept." But he said, "It hasn't been working." In addition to changing the format of the call-ins, Parsons said CU Fresh Start also started custom notifications where the individuals are met with one-on-one. "So far, two people have received custom notifications and have remained engaged," Parsons said. Last year, the city also hired a full-time project manager and partnered with the post-incarceration reentry organization First Followers to provide mentoring, job training, and conflict resolution strategies. High School Confidential, Year 4, Kids Doing Good Things. Uni High. Uni deviated from its normal schedule for the annual Agora Days Week, where classes are taught by students, teachers, and community members. Students also go on an annual Habitat for Humanity volunteer trip to Clarksdale, Mississippi. While there, they helped build houses and volunteered at a soup kitchen as well as youth programs, including Spring Initiative, started by two uni alumni in 2011 that serves as an after-school program. Pictured are Bianca Rubel, Matthew Tang, David Sun, Mariano Herrera, and Adam Zillies. Emmy Lukes, Rani Ramratam, Olivia Taylor, Prithika Ravi, Charlotte Ebel, Danny Bergstrom, Ranim Sada, Anya Kaplan-Hartnett, Salma El-Nagar, Neha Aluru, Aaron Miner, Nicole Southey, Ali Kim, and Samaya Jones. Cisna Park. For Valentine's Day, the Happiness Club made complimentary hearts and put them on everyone's lockers. Pictured are Bridget Beltran and Allison Whistles cutting out and writing on the hearts. St. Thomas More. National Honor Society Blood Drive took place with the help of Community Blood Services of Illinois. Pictured are Senior Ryan Pinto surrounded by Joe Sellett, Jack Aubrey, Josie Carmian, Abby Guido, and Bella Ramshaw. That article by Noelle Schacht. One Winter Night, See You at Home Surpasses Goal by Tim Dittman Champagne. See You at Home, the local homeless support group, says it's blasted through its goal for the One Winter Night fundraiser. The grand total is just above $405,000, far exceeding the $350,000 it set out to raise. The organization had increased its goal this year by $100,000 with plans of incorporating Austin's Place, the local women's shelter, and extending its own nighttime shelter to create a year-round homeless shelter for men and women, something CU lacks. From Area Updates, Rantoul Planning on Census Push, Rantoul. Next month, households can expect to receive mail asking residents to fill out a 9-question form from the U.S. Census Bureau, either via internet or paper. Those households that don't fill one out can expect a visit from a census worker. 60 census workers are expected to be hired for Rantoul alone. In Champaign County, they will be paid $20.50 an hour. After no one had signed up to do the work in Rantoul at mid-month, Mayor Chuck Smith began urging residents to both complete the form and consider signing up to be a census taker so an adequate count can be made. Smith is confident Rantoul's population has grown significantly from the 13,000 figure shown on the signs entering the village. More people means more federal money to help those needs, he said. I know that we're greater than 13,000. I would like that sign when you come into town to say at least 15,000, Smith said. If you can imagine an additional 2,000 people at $1,400 apiece reimbursement, the impact it would have on our total budget to help people in need in our community. Rantoul receives $330,000 in Community Development Block Grant money to go towards services ranging from rehabilitation of owner-occupied homes, social services, dental care for children, drug rehabilitation, intervention for families, and even infrastructure work such as street projects on Sangamon Avenue and Willow Pond Road. Ken Turner, Rantoul's Community Development Director, said the money is determined on a per capita basis and on the rate of poverty in a community. The poverty income line for a family of four is $24,755 a year. Rantoul has a poverty rate of 20% compared to 14% in the state and 13% nationwide. Much of the local population influx appears to be in the Hispanic community. Nelson Cuevas, director of Cultivadores Latino Center, said he agrees the Hispanic population has grown in Rantoul in recent years. He said the availability of blue-collar jobs and a stable environment are primary reasons more Hispanics are moving to town, in spite of whatever anyone else says. From where many of them come from, Rantoul is a place that is safe for their children, Cuevas said. I would say a good portion have now become homeowners. A lot of Latinos are no longer purchasing trailer homes. They're actually purchasing homes in Rantoul. That article by Dave Hinton in the Rantoul Press. Mohammed Seymour School District, $25,000 in Ag Help, Mohammed. The Mohammed Seymour School District has received $25,000 agricultural grant from the state that was secured by State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Mohammed. The funds will be dedicated to improving and upgrading the greenhouse, which is located on the high school campus and used extensively by the FFA club and various classes that are offered at the high school. These funds will modernize our greenhouse and create opportunities for agriculture students to study and research how various growing conditions are affected by light, nutrients, and humidity control, said Jennifer Wherley, an ag instructor and FFA sponsor. We can't wait to start growing new plant science labs, added Rose. Ag tech jobs are high paying and provide great career potential for those entering the profession with the right skill sets. I am thrilled to help our local school kids out with this facility upgrade. That article from the Mohammed Citizen. Illinois Department of Transportation, U.S. 150 talk on TAP, Urbana. The Illinois Department of Transportation will hold a public meeting Monday about construction along University Avenue, U.S. 150, between Wright Street and Cunningham Avenue in Urbana. The meeting will be held at the Project Field Office, 510 North Cunningham Avenue, Unit 5, Urbana, from 5 to 7 p.m. Construction, scheduled to begin on March 16, involves rebuilding sidewalks, curbs, and gutters, plus improvements to lighting and traffic signals. Nighttime rehabilitation of the road surface is slated for next year, IDOT said. The project is expected to be finished by November 1, 2021. That article from the News Gazette, Piatt County Board. We'll take a short break now and return with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, February 26, 2020. Please stay tuned.